Welcome to the State of the Program in On Texas Football with Eric Nalin, publisher, InsideTexas.com. I'm Bobby Burton, your host. Today, we're going to talk about all things Texas football, from recruiting to team and what's going on behind the scenes. Nobody does that better than Eric Nalin, the publisher of Inside Texas. Eric, what is the mentality and feel of the program after the loss in Lubbock?
Well, I think they're doubled down on the anger and disappointment from the Alabama game. Clearly, they are disappointed with how that game went. You know, there's not a lot of finger pointing, which is always good. You know, they're anxious to get back out on the field. I think in the past, it's normal for Texas fans to worry about whether or not the team's going to continue to fight through the hardships. I feel like this is a more resilient bunch than we've seen in the past, and I think they're going to respond well. Now, does that mean they're going to win? I don't know, but I think they're going to come out playing hard and firing every bullet. So, you know, they're in a good spot. That was a disappointing game. Took a lot for Texas Tech to pull out that victory. It was I think Bill Connelly had it as a 2% probability of winning. That's pretty much how it played out before all of our eyes. I think we couldn't believe that they kept advancing the ball. And, you know, I think it, you know, there's one way to look at it as an anomaly. That's certainly how the team should look at it. I think, you know, it's our job to look at it a little bit deeper and see if there's anything that we can carry over from last year too.
Yeah. And I want to do that, but first we got to thank our sponsor and should thank our sponsor. State of the Program is brought to you by Wicks Law. If you've suffered a real personal injury and need to recover real compensation, call Paul Wicks. He is a real lawyer, handles your car wrecks, truck wrecks, or other personal injury claims. Get a real deal lawyer to help when you are really injured. You're not calling a call bank or phone bank when you call Wicks Law. You're getting an actual attorney. 972-473-6900. Eric, I mentioned all of this, and we talk about whether or not they're better than last year, et cetera. My question for you is, you know, if they're going to come out firing on all bullets, do we know if that's enough anymore? Because last week I felt like they had they strung together a couple of good series in the second quarter and really went out to that 10-point lead. But then that looked like that was almost all they had in the tank. What does Texas need to do to become more consistent, in your opinion?
Well, I mean, you know, the simple answer is they have to get off the field on fourth down and they have to stay on the field on offense. You know, I think that they could be a little more aggressive on offense, you know, inside the 20 or down on the other side of the field. You know, and aggressive isn't just taking deep shots. I think Sark is considered an aggressive play caller because he likes to throw over the top. To me, aggressive is more situationally and not taking the air out of the ball. You know, I think they were conservative against Alabama at times too. You know, there's chances to really go for the throat. I need to figure it out, but how many passes has Hudson Card thrown inside the 20 this year? You know,
inside his own 20?
No, inside the opponent's 20.
Okay.
When they're trying to put the ball game away, you know, another touchdown there if they would have converted that short fourth and two where they went wildcat, you know, a touchdown there probably puts that game away. So, I think Sark needs to be more aggressive, and I think PK probably needs to be a little bit more aggressive at times too, and you know. But there were a lot of bad breaks. You know, you go back and watch the more times you watch the game, the more you see how I don't want to say lucky Texas Tech got, because you know they made their own luck and they made the plays, but that's not really a recipe for success over a 12 game schedule. But you know, on the shorter term, it worked out for them. But that's not something most teams, I think, are going to try.
Yeah, they go up to Kansas State and Manhattan this weekend. Ooh. We'll see exactly what this means if Texas Tech is better than we thought. Kansas State coming off a road victory in Norman as well over Oklahoma. So Texas fans will want to keep an eye out for that game just to see, you know, the transitive property of football, right? who plays who better?
This is going to be a tough season to do that, I think. And, you know, that Kansas State OU game probably set the tone as much as the Texas Tech Texas game for how wild this conference is going to be.
Ivan Maisel on three had a piece in his national article today that I thought was interesting.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And very intriguing. all 10 Big 12 teams are at least 500 right now.
Yeah.
That you know, 2-2 is the worst they are. They've got a couple of undefeated teams, like TCU and Oklahoma State, as well as Kansas.
Kansas, yeah.
Yeah, and so no teams below 500. He thinks it's going to be a conference that has no single standout, but a lot of muddied equilibrium, so to speak, I guess. And as we look at that with Texas, my concern is like a lot of people, I think. What we saw on last Saturday was exactly what we saw a lot last week, or last year, excuse me.
Yeah.
And that's that a quarterback that wasn't necessarily great had his best game of his career against Texas. Why is that? Is it similar to last year, or are they doing some things different that where the defense is actually improved? Because, I mean, look, they did get them into fourth downs a bunch. But at the same time, to your point, they didn't get off the field. You know, was it too much like last year for you, or do you see some fundamental differences?
In real time, it was too much like last year. The more I look at it, the less I think I feel that way. I do see noticeable improvement with individual play. I think they could tighten up the schemes a little bit more. You know, Texas Tech set the tone on that first drive. They went for it on 2 fourth downs, which one would have punted in normal occasions, and one would have kicked the field goal in normal occasions. I think Texas was a little slow to respond to that. I think they were a little slow to respond to the quarterback running the ball in short yardage. That's something that, you know, you probably would have picked up on tape early from their first couple of games. The kid was talented. You know, you and I, we had very long messages back and forth in our text group about how talented the guy was. It's just he's been entirely erratic. So I think they do need to figure out why he was less erratic against Texas. And I think they did give him a little too many comfort throws, not on fourth down, which I think the fans are kind of assuming, but it was more on the first drive was 3rd and 20. They completed it for 13 yards. Now, the game hadn't necessarily taken on the personality that it would at that point, but it was still too many free yards. Once they went for it on that first drive twice, Texas probably should have changed up their plans a little bit and realized what kind of effort and how far they were going to go to win that game. It's frustrating for the fans, but the team is noticeably better. You know, if you look at advanced metrics, and I know that a lot of people have the stats are for losers mindset, I still think context is important. They're 10 in FEI. The defense has improved. The offense has improved over last year without their starting quarterback. So I think the stats are more likely to tell the result of the season or to be more predictive of where we're going in the season than the current record. But they do have some tough games ahead of them, including this week.
Yeah, let's talk about the West Virginia game because, we thought, you know, gee, West Virginia may line up really well for Texas because they don't have a mobile quarterback. They have a very accurate and strong arm quarterback. But the Texas defense seems to have the biggest problem with mobile quarterbacks. At the same time, JT Daniels, who is in his third stop along the way, he started at USC. Texas actually beat him in DKR. Back in, I think, 2018. And then backed up Stetson Bennett last year at Georgia. Now the starter at West Virginia. I look at it and say, I don't know that Texas does match up well with West Virginia right now. I think that West Virginia has some speed on the outside that can test the Texas corners, maybe for the first real time this year. And they have a passer that can get it to them. And they've got a good defense themselves. If Texas doesn't have Quinn Ewers, which is entirely possible, we don't know if Ewers is coming back or not. You're looking at playing your second string quarterback against one of the better Big 12 defenses in West Virginia.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I don't like this matchup all that much. You know, I was watched them last night pretty late, and then before he reminded me that we had this video, I was writing up about my thoughts on them. And I think they are a tough matchup, specifically with the secondary and the coverages. You know, the Texas zone coverage is going to be susceptible to some plays, I think, in this game. And the corners have played well this year, but this is a tough matchup for Jameson and Watts. Now, Watts lines up well with Caden Prather and the other guy, Ford Wheaton. He matches up physically well with them, but those guys are athletic. You know, they can run. Jameson, of course, is giving up some size to both of them. You know, I think West Virginia does a good job isolating their tall receivers on the smaller corners. They play them to both sides, so it's not like Watts will just line up with Ford Wheaton the whole time. Prather is 6'4", 211, but looks – you watch moving on film, and it looks like he's about 6'1", 200. That's a good thing is when you're a bigger receiver, you move smaller. So I think it's a very tough matchup. But then you have the slot receiver, Sam James. You know, he can get down the field. You know, you try to run cover two, and he'll split that. So they're dangerous. They're very dangerous. And then JT Daniels is still the most one of the most talented passers in the country. He's been a talented passer since he was a sophomore in high school. Now, I don't know if he's fully evolved as a quarterback yet, like you'd expect to see from a veteran, but he can make a lot of throws. Encouragingly, he did miss some windows in zone coverage last week versus Virginia Tech. Maybe that's something that Texas defensive backs can exploit.
We talk about this, and we talk about the Texas defense trying to stop a West Virginia offense. But what about the Texas offense moving the ball against a West Virginia defense that, frankly, is one of the best in the Big 12?
Yeah, you know, they're going to mix up their fronts quite a bit. I do think that their secondary is susceptible. You know, you saw Virginia Tech get loose in the secondary a lot. The quarterback had trouble hitting him. The quarterback's pretty talented for Vautech, but they had trouble connecting. He was overthrowing some guys. Obviously, that hasn't been a strength for Hudson Card hitting guys downfield, but it was a good sign to see that those Vautech receivers were getting loose down the field. Up front, they're very active. They've got Jordan Jefferson, nose tackle. He's big. He's athletic. He's quick. He's going to be tough for the interior. I think they struggled with quickness last week. And then, of course, they've got Dante Stills is back for what seems like his 100th year. He's been a little bit quiet since the first game versus Pitt. We'll see if he can make some noise. You know, I think the O-line should do okay against that front. You know, but I think Sark is going to have to be a lot less predictable than he's been in the past couple weeks.
Yeah, Texas – I'll just give you an example. The West Virginia rush defense, which is – Texas has tried to lean into the run with Bijan Robinson at tailback and Roshan Johnson as long as Quinn Ewers has been out. They're really trying to lean into that. Tried to do that with very little success late in the game against Texas Tech. West Virginia actually is 25th in the country in rush defense right now. And so you're talking about a team that's probably not going to give up a lot of run yardage in the third and fourth quarter. And so Texas is going to have to do it through the air.
Yeah, their linebacker is good. The safety they got from Murray State is very active. You know, of course, they're always going to have their set of mercenaries that have experience and want to play and are hungry to play football. And, you know, they've got no shortage of those guys. You know, they're linebacker number 8, quality player, physical. You know, they're a solid defense. I don't think that they've been, you know, they haven't been tested like they would be if they had Ewers and Worthy. But we don't know if Texas is going to have that at their disposal. But I think Sark is going to have to let Card throw some balls, you know, intermediate, hit Whittington. I think Whittington's going to be able to find space. West Virginia does play off quite a bit. And so there should be some space underneath for Whittington, Jatavion Sanders, but Sark is going to have to be a little more creative than he has been, in the second half of last week for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'm just looking at that. They've got West Virginia has not struggled running the ball, almost 217 yards per game running the ball. Their offensive stats look very good and comparable to Texas. They're better on defense comparably. Yeah. Obviously, they haven't played Alabama.
Right. Well, the interesting fact is that, you know, FEI, the Football Outsiders, they do advanced stats. And Texas is still number 10 in the country when you average offense and defense. And West Virginia is 53. Now, West Virginia's played Towson State, which obviously is not good. But they did play Kansas. They lost to Kansas in overtime. KU is a different team than they have been in the past. So I'm trying to figure out why that discrepancy is so vast on that. But, you know, advanced stats tell a better picture for Texas. Now, their offensive line is very experienced. I think they return all five starters. Most of those guys have, 25-plus starts. They're not the biggest group except for their right guard. But they are pretty mobile. And, of course, experience goes a long way on offensive line. So this is going to be a tough matchup for Texas. I'm trying to figure out why the line opened up at, 9.5. Fans are going to have to be into it. The team's going to have to be locked in. But I think there are still some things that, that Texas has going for them in this game.
Hopefully the fans are raucous there at DKR on Saturday night for the Longhorns and affect the game at some level. Eric, the other question I would ask, as we talk about this, those stats, by the way, for folks that were seeing those on the screen, those were created and brought to us by Joe Cook of InsideTexas.com. You can get those stats and many others on InsideTexas.com. We have a special right now, $1 for 1 month at Inside Texas. So please check us out. One more of those stats that I wanted to talk about, and this is the one that really doesn't sit well with me from a competition standpoint this week. This is the one that I kind of look at and say, oh boy, they don't seem together well. And that's this one right here. Texas time of possession, 25-46. West Virginia time of possession, 33-40. I mean, number 14 in the country versus number 125. That is a disparity of large proportion. Now, I know Texas tries to run a quick strike offense, but if your defense is simultaneously right, playing bend but don't break, and I know that's a cliche of sorts to say bend but don't break, but if Texas can't get off the field, it's going to be something we're going to look at this, coming back on Saturday night after that 6:30 start at DKR and saying, well, it happened again. And so at what point does this become something that Texas looks to change, I guess is the best way to put it.
Yeah.
It's got to change, Eric. It can't continue this way.
Right. Well, time of possession, of course, can be misleading. UTSA had the ball for 36 minutes against Texas, I think, 34 minutes, something like that. So it can be misleading, but at the same time, it can tell the story too. If your defense is tired out in the second half and, you're looking at time of possession is going to offer some good reason for that. There's not much else I can say about it that I haven't written. I think that there are maybe some issues with Sark and PK having asymmetrical philosophies. Maybe they're not the perfect marriage. We'll let the rest of the season tell that story. But if this game goes similar to the ones last year and similar to last week, then I don't know what else to say. They're gonna have to figure something else out. They're gonna have to alter their course because we saw too many second halves go awry last year. This last week did, even though there's so many outlier plays that, it maybe shouldn't have gone that way, but it did. So they might have to change some things up if this game goes the way that it could. I mean, I'm looking at that, and I have the same thoughts as you that there's a chance that the second half, swings away from Texas and in favor of West Virginia.
Well, that's been the story of Sarkisian's tenure at this point. Unfortunately, I've got to find a way to make that a different storyline. Heading into Saturday night. I have one more question for you, but I also need to thank our sponsor first before I ask that, Eric. State of the Program is brought to you by Wicks Law. If you've suffered a real personal injury and need to recover real compensation, you need a real lawyer. Call Paul Wicks with wickslaw.com. Wicks Law can handle your car wrecks, truck wrecks, or other personal injury claims. Get a real deal lawyer to help when you are really injured. Again, Paul is not a call bank. That you go and get somebody that is just an intern or a legal assistant. He's actually a lawyer. You call him at 972-473-6900, and you get a lawyer on the phone right away. Eric, I want to try to piece this all together, right? Because the quarterback situation at Texas is tenuous at best. We don't know if it's Hudson Card. Card was injured even during the Texas Tech game, has been injured, still not 100% himself. Quinn Ewers coming back off of that AC sprain of his shoulder or sternum. I don't know exactly how to describe it particularly well. What does Texas do if they're staring at Quinn Ewers not being able to play not just what does Texas do, but how do Texas fans take it if through five games they're sitting at 2-3 in a loss to West Virginia, where your starting quarterback's only played one game and a quarter. And, you know, is this time to throw in the towel, or is this time to, I'm being facetious a little bit, but is this time to, you know, double down and wait for Quinn Ewers to return? What if he's not back by Oklahoma and Texas goes into that and has a real tough time? I mean, what are your thoughts right now on that kind of, you know, thought process about where Texas fans should be thinking of this team and what their upside is based on everything we know right now?
Well, I mean, I would just let the season play out. You know, there's a lot of season left. You know, if Ewers comes back and they start reeling off wins, then, you know, you can attribute this this slide should it happen. You know, there's no reason to write off this game. But if it does happen, like you said, the hypothetical is they're 2-3. Just let it play out and see how they look the rest of the season. You know, there's no point in getting frustrated about it until we have more data. Now, if Ewers comes back and they struggle and they're losing in second halves after looking good in first halves, then, you know, there's much bigger problems than probably the talent level. And then, you know, that's going to be out of your hands, and that's going to be very disappointing too. But I think overall, you know, the floor is set by the people in charge at Texas. I wouldn't worry about the want to win. Steve Sarkisian wants to win. The people in charge, you know, Jay Hartzell, Eltife, you know, Chris Del Conte, they all want to win. They're going to get it right. It's just a matter of how long it takes. So if it does go a little sideways, yeah, we'll see. But let it play out. You know, let it play out. There's a lot of season left, and maybe this season goes like the 1996 Southwestern Conference when everybody got a piece of the crown. Maybe this season goes like that. That's sort of like kissing your sister. But you know, I would just wait to see how the team looks. We haven't seen them in full health except for a quarter or two. So yeah, I don't know.
I'll
be kind of at a loss too.
Hey, speaking of health, do we know if Moro Ojomo and Xavier Worthy are expected back this week?
You know, I think Moro would play, but I'm not sure on Worthy yet. I'm not going to – I don't know. I might have to stay quiet on that one too. But
okay.
Here's what I do know. Sark should have more in the bag for when Worthy goes down. You know, I see too many people make an excuse for him losing Worthy. That, to me, is not right. I just saw a bunch of Virginia Tech wide receivers I can't name getting deep on West Virginia. So I don't want to hear that stuff. That's ridiculous.
Got it. Yeah, fair enough. All right. Eric Nalin, publisher, InsideTexas.com. This has been this week's The State of the Program on Texas Football. Please join us afterwards at InsideTexas.com, where we have plenty of articles to answer all your questions as well. For Eric Nalin, I'm Bobby Burton. Thank you for watching.